Okay, let's get started with Shmuel Beis, Perek Yud. And Perek Yud is the story of David HaMelech and the present or the good wishes that he tries to send to a king, which somewhat backfires on him. The Navi describes how David HaMelech hears that the king of Ammon has died. And Chanun, his son, has become king instead of him. And David says, you know what? His father, the one that died, he has done chesed with me, so let me do chesed with his son. And David sends messengers to the son, to basically be Menachem Avil, this non-Jew. And they come there, and the officers of Ammon, the king of Ammon, that's what we're talking about, the officers of Ammon say, you know what, this is probably a spy mission. Who says that this is real comforting? They're probably spying, and David HaMelech never has good intentions. And Chanun takes them, being convinced by his advisors, and he shaves off half their beards, and he cuts half their clothing, and sends them back in a disgraceful manner to David HaMelech. Vayagidu l'David, and David hears about this, and obviously this is an act of war, and he tries to comfort the people that came back. Don't worry, it's okay, your beards will grow back. And then he gets ready for war. Ammon, obviously, knowing what they did is going to cause David and Am Yisrael to be very upset. They hire out many other nations to try to help fight the battle. Aram and Aram Tzova and Macha and Ishtov, many other kings, they all gather, and David HaMelech says to Yoav, go fight them. So Yoav and Avishai, the two brothers remember David's nephews, because their mother was Tsruya, who was David's sister. They all get ready, and the battle is fought. Yoav and Avishai giving each other chizuk, and they defeat Ammon, they defeat Aram, they defeat all of these enemies, who eventually, many are killed, and the ones that remain have to, service and pay homage to David HaMelech. That's the parak as we finish up really the first section of Shmuel Beis here, because starting with, again, with Perek Yud Aleph, is the story of David and Bathsheba. Okay, but now let's get back to the beginning of the parak. Vayehi Acharechein. It was after this. That's an interesting phrase. That means this parak might be connected to the previous parak. It was after this. What happened in the previous parak? David does chesed with Mephibosheth, right? This grandson of Shaul, the son of Yehonasan. So now it sounds like it's another act of chesed, which, as we'll see, though, is very different. Vayamas melech b'nei Ammon, the king of Ammon dies. Vayimloch Chanun b'no Tachtav. His son takes over. Vayomer David, es a chesedim Chanun ben Nachash. Let me do chesed with Chanun, the son of Nachash, kasher asa aviv imadi chesed. After all, Nachash did chesed for me, so let me send him Tanchumen. Is this considered chesed to the father who died, or the chesed to the son? So it sounds like, well, the father did for me chesed, so I'm going to do with the son. The Rambam, though, in Hilchos Avel, notes that Nicham Avelim is both chesed im Achai and chesed im Hames. Well, we're Menachem Avel. We're not only Menachem and doing a mitzvah with the Avelim, but even with those who are dead. That's what the Gemara says in Shabbos, that if there are no Avelim, you still go to the house and pretend that there's a Shiva. Even if nobody's sitting Shiva, which shows that Nicham Avelim is covered in a mace as well. So it could be directly with the father. The question is, what type of chesed? The Navi does not record explicitly what chesed Nachash did for David. And just the opposite, if you remember back to the middle of Shmuel Aleph, this Nachash was the one that taunted the Jewish people. If you remember Perek Yud Aleph, he, Nachash HaAmoni, went to the people of Yavesh Gilad and said, you know, I'll make a treaty with you and I won't wipe you out if you let me knock out your right eye, your Ein Yamin. And they ran to Shaul, and Shaul was the one that came and then defeated Nachash. So Nachash wasn't known for his chesed, for his nice behavior. So Rashi quotes here, B'Shem Chazal, and the Radak quotes it, that, if you remember, recently, a couple of prakim ago, David HaMelech took revenge against the people of Moab, the nation of Moab, because he had given over his family members to them and for safekeeping, and they killed his family members. But the Medrash tells us that one of his relatives, Elihu, one of them ran away and was rescued and protected in Ammon. So must be maybe Nachash had a change of heart, or he realizes that David was going to be on top. So after his family ran away, were killed by Moab, one of them was Nimlat to the Bnei Ammon, and in that way, that's the chesed that is being referred to here. Even though he might have done a lot of terrible things, in this way he He helped out David. So David sends people. Vayishlach David l'nachamo b'yad avadav el aviv. So David sends a group of messengers to go to Hanun to be able to, you know, wish him well and give him condolences. Again, chesed, following the chesed from the previous parak. The officers, though, were not, so fond. Vayomru, sorry, b'nei Amon Hanun Adonayim. Hamachabei David es avicha b'enecha. Is David really giving you covet? You think he's telling the truth? Kishalach l'cha menachemim. You think he's telling the truth? It can't be. He's not telling the truth. No way. Halo bavur chakor ha'ir. He wants to do a chakira. He wants to spy. He wants to figure out the best way to attack us. Ula ragla, ula hafcha, to eventually turn over the city. Shalach David es avada ve'lecha. No, he's lying. He doesn't want. Why'd they think this? Why do they think that David HaMelech was not being truthful? So it might just be Stam anti-Semitism, but Rashi quotes, continuing in the name of the Medrash, they knew the Pasuk in Chumash. They knew that it says in the Torah, right, Pasuk Gimel, Rashi quotes this, that it says in Kiseisi, Lo Sidro Shlomam V'Tavasam, you're not allowed to seek out the Shalom of Ammon and Moab. There's a separate Issur D'Oraisa. That you're not allowed to seek out the Shalom and act nicely with Ammon and Moab. And here he's darshaning, he's being Dorei Shalom. He's Bethersh against the Pasuk in their Chumash. And that's why they said it must be that he is going against. He's going, it's really a fake. And the Radak and all the Mefarshim point out here that David was wrong. And it could be that David was going above and beyond trying to do chesed, but sometimes there is misplaced chesed. Sometimes chesed goes too far. And maybe that's the contrast between the previous parak to Mipi Boshes. And here, the Medrash already says it. Only the Rishon, the Medrash already says it, that David HaMelech went too far in this regard. The Medrash tells us in Bamidbar Rabban, Perachav Aleph, Al tehi tzadik harbe, based on the Pasuk and Goelos, don't be such a great tzadik. Shelo ye adam mivater al haTorah. Don't be a vacheron. Don't try to be more kind than the Torah is. V'zeh she'shalach l'nachim b'nei Amon u'la'asosim o'chesed, sof ba l'idei bizayin u'ba l'idei melchama. You know what your chesed led to, David HaMelech? It led to war. It led to embarrassment of your people. Right? Sometimes there's inappropriate chesed. That's what the Radak also says here. Mi garam lo David. What caused all this to David? She'bikesh la'asos tova imisha amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo sidro shlomam v'tavasam. You're trying to do a tova to the people that Hashem says, don't do a tova for these people. Inherently, they are not out on your side. And there are other examples of this, as we know. The Gemara in Yuma talks about Shaul, right? Very famously. Shaul HaMelech. What happened? We know the story. Why he lost the Malchus. He didn't want to wipe out Amalek. He didn't want to kill the king of Agag. He let the animals. Why? Because he dashed into Kal Vachomer. What did they do? Right? What did they do wrong? Why do I have to wipe them out? That's the Gemara on Chav Beis Mabez in Yuma. Hashem says to Shaul, wipe out Amalek. Omar Shaul says, how could I do that? I'm going to wipe out Amalek. Achas Torah Arufa. For one miscellaneous anonymous corpse that we find in a field, you have to do the whole process of Egla Arufa. Call on Afashos Halal Alachas Kama Vakama. All of these souls. You know, how could I kill all these people? V'im adam chata, behema machata, and if a person sins, the animals, v'im gdolim chatu, k'tanim machatu, how could I do this? Yotza basko, v'yamrlo, a basko goes out from Shemayim and says, Shaul, al ti tzadik harbe. Don't be such a great tzadik. Because what happens, as the Gemara says, if you try to have misplaced chesed, it's ultimately going to lead to misplace the opposite of chesed. What did Shaul HaMelech do a couple of prakim later? What did Shaul turn to Doeg when he thought that David was hiding in the city of Nov? He massacred the entire city. What happened? This is Shaul who cared about even one life. It shows that misplaced chesed can have terrible repercussions and terrible results. So you have it here by David, you have it earlier by Shaul, you have it also, the Rashbam alludes to it, but also it's explicated by the Achronim, even the Akedah. What happens right before the Akedah? Avram Avinu makes a treaty with Avimelech about portions of Eretz Yisrael. And the Akedah starts off, Vayehi achar hadvarim ha'ela. After these things, so the Rashbam writes, in an extreme radical suggestion, he says the Akedah was an onesh for Avram Avinu. Avram, you're so nervous about the future, you want to have chesed, you want to go to that extreme, says, I'll kill your son. Let's see if they're, just listen to me. That's inappropriate what you did, the Rashbam says. So the Rashbam's emphasis is not so much our point, but that don't play around and make treaties about portions of Eretz Yisrael. That's the Rashbam's emphasis here. Afkan, achar advarim shakaras avram bris avimelech, lo ulino ulenechdo, venasan lo sheva kizdo satzon, chara apo shalakadish baruch walzos. Hashem got very angry. Shari eretz plishtim bechlal gvul Yisrael. Eretz Plishtim is a part of Eretz Yisrael. Va'akadosh Baruch Hu tziva aleihem lo sachaya kol neshama. V'alochein v'alokim knisas Avraham. But if you take that idea and just formulate it in a more general manner, the Shemen HaTov, in the second volume of the Shemen HaTov, he says, it has to do with chesed. Da'af, efshar tekivnu debal olame, da'af demidas ha-chesed god la'am ma'od, hitzricha gvulin. Chesed is unbelievable, but there also has to be borders to the chesed. Avraham Avinu was the Amud HaChesed. But there are borders. And maybe that's why, what does it say at the end of the Akedah? And all the Mefarshim wonder about this. Atoya dati, Hashem says. Now I know, ki rei Elokim ata. Now you're a fearer of God. What, before and he didn't know? So maybe the point is that he has to have the balance, chesed, with yirav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that has to limit and keep a gvul on the chesed. Nechama Leibowitz, in her Sefer on Chumash, also has a suggestion of this, and it's based on Chazal, obviously, but it's based on the Chazal and the Ramban. Right, the Ramban, in Parshas Lech Lecha, the Ramban writes an amazing, very strong line. He says, much of the problems that we have with the Arabs, Bizman Hazeh, writes the Ramban, and this is, he was writing this 600-700 years ago, is because of the Inui that Sarah Imenu did to Hagar. Because of the Inui, the behavior that she did, so that is what caused a lot of art tsaros. Says that's a Ramban, and the Radak, and therefore it's a problem. They don't try to cover up her actions that she did with Hagar. Again, it's very strong lashon. The Ramban says Chata Chait Gadol. Just find you the lashon. Chata imenu biinui hazeh, v'gam Avraham behenichu lasos kein, v'sham Hashem es anya, v'nasan laben shei pere adam, la'ano zera Avraham v'sar b'chol minei he'inui. Says the Chama Leibowitz, just think back for a minute. Right before this, what happened? Sarah did an unbelievable act of kindness. She didn't have a child. She terribly wanted a child. Avram didn't suggest anything. He loved Sarah. He wasn't going to suggest anything. But Sarah, even though she still wanted a child, she didn't give up yet, but she brings Hagar into her house. An unbelievable act of selflessness, an unbelievable act of chesed. And yet, what did it lead to? It made her be in an unbearable situation where Hagar made fun of her, and Hagar was pregnant, and she was still in the difficult situation. So the Chama Leibowitz just notes, sometimes we have to think about if a situation is going to be too difficult, which here, the Rishonim say that she was Chote, so maybe the beginning of the situation would have been better even if we wouldn't have done it in the first place, right? The Chama Leibowitz. Perhaps, and again, this is just extending what the Rishonim say. It's an extreme thought, but it's extending what the Rishonim say. Perhaps the Torah wishes to teach us that before man undertakes a mission that will tax all his moral and spiritual powers, he should ask himself first whether he can maintain those same high standards to the bitter end. Otherwise, man is liable to descend from the pinnacle of altruism and selflessness into much deeper depths than would ordinarily have been the case. Had Sarah not wished to suppress her instincts and overcome every vestige of jealousy, had she not dared to scale these unusual heights of selflessness, which was unbelievable, she would not have fallen victim to the sin of Vata'aneha Sarai, and there may not have been born that individual whose descendants have proved a source of trouble to Israel, Ad Hayom Hazeh. She just ends off with, who knows? That is the scary thought, but that is another example. Exactly what happened here with David, it was inappropriate. The question is, why did David do it? David knew the Pasuk in Chumash. This is all about David's mistake and the other times there's been these mistakes. So why did David do it? It's two thoughts. It could be that Isser is limited. If you look in the Hagos Maimonios, in Hilchos Malachim, on the Rambam, that quotes this Isser, that one is not allowed to Dori Shlomam V'tov Asam, in Vav, in Hilchos Malachim, Amonu Moav, Ein Sholchin Lohem L'Shalom. But if you look in the Hagos Maimonios, maybe Bamedvar Mamurim is only Bedrisha Shalom, with starting the relationship. aval tashlume shalom mutter. But being tashlum, paying back for a goodness that was done, so that could be mutter. So maybe that's what David thought. I'm just paying back. I'm not being Dori Shalom. He did something good for me. He saved my relative. So I am going to do something back to him. And then the Agar Zamanios quotes our Perek. Sheneemar vayamas melech bnei amo vayimachanim bnei tachtov. Because the Agar Zamanios, he didn't do anything wrong here. Against the Medrash. He didn't do anything wrong. He was giving, he was having Akaras HaTov. Another answer could be, the Menchas Chinuch suggests this. He doesn't suggest this to answer this question, but another answer could be, in Tav Kuf Samach Beis, maybe the only Isser, according to some Rishonim, is only B'Shas Milchama. B'Shas Milchama, don't look for Shalom at that point. But Stam, when there's no war going on, so then maybe it's not a problem. Nira Midvarov says the Minchas Chinuch, talking about the Sefer HaChinuch, Delav Zeh Rak B'Milchama Da'asir Likros L'Shalom. V'Yalkein, and he says, and therefore it wouldn't apply when it's not B'Shas Milchama, and maybe it wouldn't apply to women, which is are also excluded from Milchama, different days. But that's the a little discussion of the Isser, of Lo Sidro Shloma. Okay, let's continue. So that was what David did. So what happens? We mentioned that he sends back, Chanun sends back the David's men with half shaves. Vayikach Chanun, Pasuk Dalet, Esavdei David, Vayigalaches Chatzi Zekanam. Vayichros Es Madveim Bachatzi Ashisoseyem. She embarrasses them terribly. He cuts off half their beards, and he cuts their clothing all the way down until basically they were naked. Until they didn't have anything to cover themselves. And he sent them away, and it was told to David, and David picks them up and sends them to Yericho until everything grows back. 2 points. The Radak asks, if it was so embarrassing to have half a beard, so just shave off the other half. Well, what do you have to wait till the other half grows back? Says the Radak, it must be that at that time, it would be even more embarrassing not to have any beard. Because everybody had beards then. And therefore, it would have been more embarrassing, legaleach, the whole thing, so it's better just to leave it and wait till the other half grows back. Again, a large discussion about the hadras panim, about a beard. What type of onesh or embarrassment was this? Why, Dafka, did Chanun choose this? Would he come up with this? So, two thoughts. Number one is the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel says, Chanun wasn't convinced that his officers were right. Wasn't convinced. He had to be choshesh. But maybe they had some good intentions also. Maybe David also wanted to give Nichum. So maybe they had both intentions. So that's why he did what he did, to cut off half. At least half of your intentions might have been good, but the other half I don't trust. V'yachshov, says the Abarbanel, v'kavanas chanun, shehiskim lasos lema bizoyin azeh. Why did he do this bizoyin? L'fisha hamalachim haisa bi'asam tova mitzad v'ra'a mitzad. They had some good kavanas, and bad kavanas. Im tova mitzad kefi devrayim shabom lenachamo, v'aisa ra kefi kavanasem shayisa l'rag el asa'aretz. Right, because after all, why didn't he just, if he really thought they were spies, why didn't he kill them? Right, he didn't kill them because he wasn't sure, but he didn't send them back stam because he was nervous. V'lochein lo kibdum kamalach eishalom gemurim, v'lo hanishim kamaraglum gemurim, v'nasam lahem chatzi onesh. He gave them half an onesh, v'gilach chatzi zakana, v'karas chatzi mabushehem. And that's why he made them basically reveal their nakedness to show, like, oh, I know what's behind and what's why you really came. That's the remez that he was sending to David as well. That's one idea. Another idea was suggested, Rabbi. I also heard from Rabbi Alan Schwartz that maybe this is similar to what we find Bizman Hazeh. Some of the enemies of Am Yisrael, what they do is they do something to instigate. And then they wait for the self-defense that Am Yisrael goes through, and then they start screaming, "We're the victims! We're the victims!" So maybe this was part of his plan. He wanted to do something to instigate a war, to start something. And then he was going to blame them. He was going to say, "Oh, what is David HaMelech doing to me?" Didn't work for him, because the public opinion was not swayed, and public opinion loved David HaMelech. But that's also a very creative shot in terms of why he did this type of instigation in order to try to lure David and then public opinion to have against him. Okay, Vayir b'nei Amon, they send them back, and the people of Amon realize, ki nevashu b'David, that David is very upset at them. Maybe they overreacted, maybe they shouldn't have done this. So, Vayishlachu b'nei Amon, the people of Amon send, and they try to gather the troops from Aram, Beit Rehov, and Aram Sova, 20,000 men here, and 1,000 men here, and 12,000 men here, all different types of nations. Vayishma David hears, and he sends Yoav, Says Yoav, why does he not go himself? That's a good question. Some say this was a negative, as we'll talk about in the next parak. Some say it was a positive. He didn't want to give the covet of the other nations to know that, oh, the great David, you know, came out to fight them. Okay, either way, Lamaisa, he didn't come. Even though a Jewish leader, usually, Rashi and Parshas Pinchas tells us that a Jewish leader is always the one that comes out first. But David didn't go, he sends Yoav. And Yoav goes, and he plans with his brother Avishai. We know the third brother has already been killed, Asael, earlier in the Sefer. So they plan, and there are two fronts. Yoav goes to one front, Avishai goes to the other front. And Yoav says to Avishai, giving him Chizuk, a beautiful Pasuk, Chazak, Pasuk Yud Beis, Chazak v'nis Chazak b'yad Amenu. Be strong for your nation, u'b'yad Arei Elokeinu, and for the cities of God, v'Hashem yaseh hatov be'enav. And Hashem is going to do what's right. Hashem will do what's good. You do the best you can, and the rest is in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Ralbag, right here, you can't sit back and expect Hashem to do everything. You have to do everything that you can do, Ein somchen al hanes, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help you out. Says the Ralbag, Lamanu mizeh shein roi lismoch al hanes, aval roi sheishtadel ha'adam b'hatzal aso. A person should try to do the most for his own salvations. Lefi ma she'efshar, va'oz yazar Hashem yisbarach. Do everything you can, and then Hashem will help. Ki Hashem yisbarach lo yechadesh ha'movsim rak mekomos hechrechiyim. Hashem doesn't do nisim stam, only where he has to. Hashem doesn't like to do nisim. So you do the most you can do, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do the rest. The Be'er Moshe has a very beautiful pshat on this line. Of this pasuk is really telling us about a yesod in life. Chazek v'nis chazek b'yad amenu. Do be strong! And Hashem yaseh atov be'enav. Klal bazeh kol iskei adam. You do your life, but then know, whatever happens, Hashem is in charge of it, and it's all tov. She'asim b'tchono b'Hashem b'chol drachav. Amnam imze. Do everything, but with that yeda ki Hashem yaseh atov be'enav. Even if it doesn't appear good to me, Hashem knows what's best. And therefore, I have to work my hardest, and then at the end of the day, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's best for me. We have to daven. We want Hashem to always give us what He knows is good for us, not what we think is good for us. That's what we daven, Rav Soloveitchik says. V'kabel berachamim uveratzon esfilaseinu. Not v'kabel esfilaseinu. Accept our tefillos, except with rachamim, meaning you know whether it's good to accept our tefillos or not. And he even quotes Rabbeinu Manoach on the Rambam. In Hilchas Tefillah, not such a well-known Rabbeinu Manoach. The Kesef Mishnah also quotes it. In the end of Hilchas Tefillah, in Perek, where he talks about Tefillah, then it gets into, actually not, in the middle, Perek Dalet, the end of the fourth Perek, where the Rambam quotes the Tefillah that you say in a dangerous place. Malkam Sakan, the Gemara in Brachas. One of the lines there is, V'hatov be'enecha aseh, do what's good in your eyes. Rabbeinu Manoach says, do what's good in our eyes. Do what's good in your eyes. Sha'atov be'enenu ulay tachliso eno tov. Aval atov be'enecha hu tov agamor va'alav anu mevakshim rachamim. And that's what this pasuk means. Yoav says to his brother, we fight our hardest and Hashem will take care of everything else. So what happens? They go, Yoav and Avishai, and they win, and they drive everyone back, and they have a lot of victims that they protect David from. And finally, the end of the parak is the Avdei Hadar Ezer realizes that they're going to lose, and they make shalom with David, and they agree to be his avad. Okay, this takes us through Perek Yud. Perek Yud Aleph really starts the next section of the Sefer Shmuel Beis, because we have the story of David and Bathsheba coming up, and then we will have the rest of the Sefer, which is really a result of the whole story of David and Bathsheba. Okay, we'll stop here.